Good leadership can be hard to define, but we all know it when we see it. I'm Anu D, CEO of Silicon Republic, and this is The Leader's Room, a series we're making in partnership with IDA Ireland. In this episode, we'll be looking at leadership in the medical technology sector and exploring how leaders can create the kind of culture that attracts the best minds from around the world. But first, a word about our partners, IDA Ireland. The series features success stories of companies that have flourished within Ireland's open economy, and IDA Ireland is committed to helping these businesses transform and thrive with supports across R&D, sustainability, digitalization, and talent development. To see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay, visit IDAIreland.com. I've been looking forward to sharing this conversation with you. In this episode, I spoke with Sean Wall. Sean is Senior R&D Director and Site Lead at BD Research Centre Ireland in Limerick, part of the global medical technology company developing products for medical research, diagnostics and healthcare. In this interview, I wanted to get Sean's perspective on the kinds of high-end research being undertaken from here in Ireland. And of course, we spoke about the ever-present AI, which is already having an impact on the sector. And we explored a theme that comes up a lot in this series, and that's the potential for AI to do some of the more mundane work and free up people's time for more critical thinking. That stuff that really needs a human mind. We all get the potential of AI to be a very capable accelerator when it comes to human endeavors and transformation. But when it comes to such critical areas as human healthcare, a somewhat cautious and considered approach seems only sensible. I must say, I very much enjoyed our chat. I hope you did too. So today's studio guest is Sean Wall, Senior R&D Director and Site Leader at one of Ireland's leading medtech research facilities, which is BD's Research Centre in Limerick. So welcome, Sean. And we always kind of like to start off on the kind of the human side and ask you a little bit about your journey to here. What got you to here?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. What got me to here, I guess, growing up, I was always someone who loved to do things with my hands, make things. And I also had a keen interest in biology and medicine. But my parents are kind of in a medical background. And I also kind of spent an awful lot of my time on a farm as a child. So I kind of had a little bit of animals and as I was going through school, I thought to myself that maybe the best thing to do is take a broad approach and do mechanical engineering. But I always had biology in my mind, right? So I kind of saw ways to try and get into bioengineering. And then I guess more specifically, when I was in third year, my father had a heart attack. And he had coronary angioplasty done, he had a coronary stent put in place. So if ever there was a kind of an impetus for me to change focus, I started thinking about, okay, how can I really get into bioengineering and go after that? So I did that, I got into a master's, and my first job out of college was in a company that made angioplasty balloons and stents.
Incredible. And then just, you know, for people who don't know, BD, tell us a little bit about the organisation.
Yeah, so BD is a major medtech company. It's over 125 years old. There's well over 77,000 people working in BD globally. The thing that always baffles me is the numbers, right? So make over 37 billion products every year, and its products are massively diverse. So even in Research Centre Ireland, where we work in Limerick, we work with pretty much all of the different BD business units. So you've got products from minimally invasive medical devices through to, you know, life science equipment that's fully automated, goes into laboratories and medication management solutions. So it's just a snapshot of the breadth of technologies that BD offers worldwide. So pretty cool.
Amazing. And how does the Irish operation fit in then? And tell us a little bit about the operation in Ireland within BD globally.
Research Centre Ireland is part of a centralised team. We support the breadth of R&D projects and products in their R&D life cycle. So from, say, something that's a concept right through to launch, or even we do a lot of work in post-launch activities, keeping products on the market and sustaining them. In Research Centre Ireland, we have a ton of different skill sets across a vast array of disciplines from software, life sciences, technology, engineering. So we have a lot of diverse talent there. And then also, we also complement that then with a lot of different functions from quality, regulatory, medical and clinical affairs, and then some likes of human resources and finance. So a lot of different things going on. close to 400 people in RTI as well, right? And for well over 43 nationalities. So you think about the level of talent and diversity that that brings, it's a pretty cool place.
And I'm going to come back to that a little, but just before I do, your site lead there, you're talking about 400 people. But tell us a little bit about your idea of what leadership should look like, you know, whatever about what kind of a leader you are yourself. In your mind, what should a leader be?
A term that we use a lot in terms of leadership is servant leadership. So it's really being that sort of leader who is willing to step back and be conscious and provide opportunities for your teams to step in and really take on challenges where your job is really trying to remove obstacles and provide those opportunities. And I think a lot of that for me personally would come to having a reasonable level of self-awareness and understanding what your personality traits might be as a leader might not suit your teams, and having an awareness perspective that maybe if you lead with a lot of enthusiasm or you can be quite abrupt and decisive, that sometimes can be overpowering for other people who have really strong leadership traits. But it's just having that kind of awareness of knowing when to step back or catch yourself and provide opportunities for others.
You know, you were talking about the convergence really between life sciences and technology, you know, given the kind of people you have working there at the RCI. But, you know, if you're looking at areas like AI and generative AI, how is that affecting what you're doing? Is it good, bad, indifferent? Is it exciting? Is it challenging?
It's exciting. It's challenging. I think the honest answer is we're probably like a lot of our industry peers trying to understand what it is. How do we use it? How does it affect how we work? I think there's a real practical thing with AI at the moment. There's a lot of podcasts, materials, talks about the use of AI in medicine. So our customers, our clinicians and doctors, nurses that we're working with are talking about using AI in healthcare and how that's changing how they operate, how they even write up case notes, how it's changing treatment algorithms. So part of AI is, when you hear that, how are we going to be at the table to bring products that are meaningful? We're looking at it in a couple of different ways, but we're still trying to explore what it means for us. So practically, we can think about people in software that we have in RCI thinking about how does AI help them in generating code to developers? Does it change our test practices? Or even if you think about life scientists in a lab working on cells or thinking about doing validation runs, can they take some of the, one for a better word, administration work out of it by using AI to write protocols so they can spend their best time analyzing data, right? So there's some real practical things we look at. And then also, I think about the products that we develop, it's making sure that we can understand how we can adopt the likes of AI and machine learning to generate data and analyze data on our products. Because kind of what I said earlier, it's that data that might help change how we treat a disease or how we react to how our product's used, or even more practically, understanding the nature of our products in the field and how we might change how we service them, right? So it's trying to understand how we can use it and tap into that.
Yeah. And I mean, you implied it there, but I mean, that idea of, it's not that you replace somebody with AI, you free them up to do more analysis and less mundanity, I suppose, way. Would that be fair to say?
Yeah, there's definitely a portion of that. But also, it's much more than that too, because that's the challenge, is trying to understand what place it has.
Yeah.
So if it can help us operate more efficiently and get, you know, people critical thinking on elements by taking out some of those, there's absolutely a benefit in that. But I think more broadly, it's also what the expectations of our customers have with the products that you're offering, that you're providing a solution that's going to add extra value to them. So it's trying to understand where it fits and all that.
Particularly in the area of med tech and medical devices, I presume regulation and compliance has got to be a major challenge and a major issue for your sector.
In the med tech industry, the last number of years, the regulations that we have to meet to keep our products in the market as well, develop products, have changed. The bar is much higher. So us, like a lot of our peers, would be kind of grappling with ensuring that products meet state-of-the-art. We're consuming an awful lot of brain power, resources, testing to try and meet new standards, particularly in Europe. So the medical device regulations, as well as in vitro diagnostic regulations, it's a high bar to meet. And what that practically means, if you don't, you know, you risk disruption to supply, you can't get products to healthcare. And I think the challenge with that is you're putting a lot of resources into that. But you also need to grow, right? So you think about operating efficiently, making the best use of your resources across the globe to ensure that you're able to keep things up to standard while also continuing to grow. And it's trying to get that balance. I think that's probably the challenge that a lot of our industry peers like us are facing right now.
And the area, again, that you often think you hear leaders talking about a lot is sustainability. Is that something that is a big deal for BD?
Yeah, of course. Sustainability across a number of different facets, you know, so there are a lot of materials that we use in our products, like a lot of our competitors and peers use as well, that are no longer acceptable for use. And that's not just an implantable material, for example, that might come into a patient's body. It's just, it could be a general all-purpose material, but, you know, for various different reasons, they're materials of concern, what they call them. So there are, similar to medical device remediation, it's how do you keep your products in the market that don't have these materials, so you're trying to replace them. But sustainability also is looking at how you bring products to the market that are recyclable, reusable, that they're being manufactured with sustainable methods. You think about sterilization technologies, for example. Like, we're doing a lot of focus on making sure that the manufacturing process, the sterilization process we use, are in themselves sustainable. And again, the market's shifting. So we work with a lot of major hospital institutions, and if we saw the product or had a tender yesterday, and we turn up today and they say, you've got this material in your product, we can't accept this. You know, so the challenge with sustainability is making sure that you're touching multiple areas of it, but also the sands have shifted pretty quickly. The expectations have changed. So it's not one area of focus. There's many different facets to sustainability, and it's making sure that we're kind of keeping abreast of all those and trying to not just get ahead, just kind of come up to standard.
Moving to technology again as well, you know, security and cybersecurity, I'm assuming that's a major issue as well when you're talking about, you know, medical devices of any kind. Yeah. So, but tell us a little bit about how it affects you in that kind of sector.
Yeah, so in Research Centre Ireland, actually, we have a dedicated product security team. Their role is to look at product lifecycle management and cybersecurity as part of that. So we would have teams, and this isn't my strong suit, but we would have teams who their sole focus is analysing legacy products, software, understanding what risks they have from a cybersecurity perspective, putting together various different risk and severity scores to make sure we're tackling the right products, doing the right penetration testing, patch releases, trying to ensure that we're minimizing our risk as much as possible, or potentially fast forwarding end of life cycle to bring on something new. So we've dedicated a team for that. And I think part of what we have in RCI is, as a central team, we also have software developers and testers in the same building who are working together on products. So when we have people on the cybersecurity sense analyzing legacy products, naturally sharing those learnings, best practices with the software developers is starting to think differently about how we're developing. So yeah, there's a lot of focus on it, and RCI in particular is a main hub for our cybersecurity assessments and in the organization.
Andy, I mean, you touched on it there, but I mean, the breadth of talent that is required in something like RCI, tell me a little bit about that and you know, the kind of initiatives that you carry out in order to get the talent in.
Yeah, well, I think it's always important when you're trying to hire talent that you're looking for a broader range of skills and from diverse backgrounds. I think probably like a lot of our peers, we try and partner with the right recruitment companies, right, to make sure that we can access talent locally, as well as knowing for specific skill sets, what regions, what countries we want to tap into. But we also use our own associates, our own people, to understand what networks, what industries they've come from, as well as access to talent coming through universities. So we have a lot of focus on the idea of very good at making connections with specific research areas or universities that we may not have already uncovered to say, tap in there and see what way you can attract talent.
So, yes, so we spoke a little bit about, you know, BD in Limerick and the amazing work that's going on there. But BD is elsewhere in Ireland, am I right?
Yes, of course. There's four sites of BD in Ireland. So we've got Limerick, as we mentioned. There's a manufacturing and research development site in Enniscorthy. We have a research centre here in Blackrock in Dublin as well. And also we've a high volume production site as part of our medical diagnostic solutions business in Drogheda. So quite a presence in Ireland, and also the technologies and talent that we use at every site is different. There's a lot of cool things going on in country. I think back to Research Centre Ireland in Limerick, you know, we are fortunate to have access to a lot of different technologies as well, because we're supporting the majority of BD business units. So, you know, across life sciences and engineering, electronic engineering, for example, or embedded software, you know, just we have a really diverse talent pool in country, and it's fantastic.
It's becoming quite a vibrant kind of region in Ireland. Would that be fair to say?
Limerick?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's something really happening over in the West. It's something else. The amount of companies that are setting up there and expanding, The amount of different initiatives going on. I mean, the Limerick Chamber are very active and they're really fantastic partners in supporting and attracting talent and also bringing challenges to light too, right, in the region. But yeah, Limerick is really booming and it's expanding. It brings some challenges, right? So every town and city in Ireland, you know, there are some practical things that there's a lot of companies looking to invest in Ireland, but the onset of housing and different things is a challenge. And we hear about this in the region. So we've quite vibrant cities like Limerick that are trying their best to attract in talent and are doing so. But then there's also some challenges in terms of making sure we got the support structures to bring them on. So I think I'd say BD is a fantastic culture in Ireland, right, across the different sites. And what we find is that our associates lead a lot of initiatives, right, focusing on STEM, accessing and bringing medical technologies to students at all ages. And we support a lot of different charities. And why I bring that up is that informs a certain type of culture, right? So when we think about our people leaders who are going out looking for talent, it's one thing to have the right processes and places to go to look for it. But in terms of how we interview people, how we're trying to attract people, skills and competencies, of course, we're looking for. But when you think about inclusion and we think about our culture, that's kind of what we like to think. Those questions now are people leaders have in their mind, and that's what they're looking for.
That's wonderful. I love to hear it. And you touched on it there. Our partners on this series are IDA Ireland. Tell me a little bit about, I suppose, how they've supported you in your work here in Ireland.
They've been fantastic. I mean, the work that the IDA does across many industries in Ireland is something else. And it's not just providing incentives. It's opening your mind to, like I said, with the universities, what's going on, what aren't you accessing? So they're really a fantastic partners in that regard. BD in particular, in Ireland as a whole, we've been very fortunate to be supported across the gamut of what they offer, right? From sustainability grant incentives to digitalization to multiple different resource development projects, as well as focusing on innovation and training and development for our people. So we've had the full gamut of support. And like I said, it's really kind of, when we start working with them on various different opportunities, they open our eyes up to other institutions and universities that we can collaborate with. And that's really helping us to think about AI, for example, and digitalization. We work with we collaborate with certain institutions fostered by the IDA and are really dipping our toes into what data we can generate for our equipment and for our devices and how we can use that to change, like I said, treatment algorithms or service models. And it's through the IDA that they've really shown us the way, right? So we've really been a beneficiary of their support. It's been great.
If we're to look to the future, you know, when it comes to the medtech side of things, the big trends?
Customers' demands have changed, right? So our customers are clinicians and our patients, but also bringing products and technologies to them to meet their needs. It's not something that you're looking at in the future, it's here and now. So trying to keep abreast of those challenges and make sure that you're at least meeting the standard, if not trying to lead in those fields. So expectations have shifted. You know, when you're going to an institution that changes overnight what they want you to provide here and now, development cycles take time, right? So it's trying not to be caught there and to keep ahead of it.
Well, listen, Sean Wall, that was absolutely fascinating. And it's great to hear a little bit more about BD in Ireland. So thank you very much for being here in the studio with us today. Thanks a million. My conversation with Sean offered plenty of food for thought on the medtech sector. Developing sustainable products is a unique challenge in such a complex industry because the materials you use have to comply with such very high standards. And in many cases, the devices need to go inside the human body. So I think it's interesting to follow how companies like BD navigate that balancing act between true excellence and the ever-present need for growth. But a key takeaway too from our conversation is the value of an inclusive culture within an organisation. It's such an important part of leadership to create that space that people want to work in, that our teams feel creative within. And a big part of that is making sure the workplace is inclusive and that everyone is valued. It's exciting to see diverse international teams like this growing in Ireland and in the West and in cities like Limerick. And you attract teams like that when you nurture that culture in your organisation, there is no doubt. A workplace like BD's Research Centre Ireland needs the best people from so many different disciplines. Life scientists, engineers, software developers, even cybersecurity professionals.
It's something that we at Silicon Republic see time and time again. The most successful leaders and teams know how to create a culture that not only attracts, but retains that diversity of excellent talent. Thanks again to our series partner, IDEA Ireland. You can see why many of the world's leading businesses have chosen Ireland and what makes them stay by visiting IDEAIreland.com or visit SiliconRepublic.com and look for the Leaders Room, where you can find video versions of all our podcast interviews.